You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Friday, May 7th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and very excited for two different reasons here on the podcast today. One, still riding the high of John Means' no-hitter in Seattle on Wednesday. Just what a day it was for John Means. If you haven't listened to yesterday's episode yet, go back and check it out. We had Matt Ritchie and Jake Mintz on the podcast, a couple of big Orioles fans who also work in the media as well, and you may know them from different places, but just three Orioles fans shooting the breeze about what it meant to see John Means throw a no-hitter, the first O's no-hitter since 1991, and again, the first solo no-hitter thrown by an Oriole since Jim Palmer in 1969. It was great to see John Means do that, and what a game to come off of, and it is really awesome to have your no-hitter come on a day game when you have it the next day off. And let's just say John Means definitely enjoyed his day off as well. But of course, we are moving forward here on the pod. But the no-hitter was just reason number one why I'm in great spirits still here on Friday. After recording this podcast here, about to go get shot number two of my COVID-19 vaccine as well. Just another step towards getting back to normal. Remember, still wearing your mask, the CDC says, at least until you are double vaxxed and a couple of 2 weeks after that second vaccination. But still stay smart, but we are looking like we're inching maybe towards the end part of this here as we get to the middle of 2021. So a lot to be excited about. I am closer and closer to finally getting to Camden Yards, but also to getting to minor league ballparks, which is somewhere I haven't been in a few years as well, and that's what we continue our talk about today. Now, we were initially going to talk about this episode and do this episode yesterday, but of course, John Means threw a no-hitter on Wednesday, so our plans changed a little bit. But today, we will now continue our Orioles minor league preview week here on the podcast. Back on Tuesday, we talked Norfolk Tides with Nick Stevens of the BSL on the Verge podcast. Back on Wednesday, we had Adam Pohl on the podcast. He is play-by-play voice of the Bowie Bay Sox to preview Bowie season. Now we will have Bob Phelan join us on the pod. He is another of the co-hosts of the BSL On the Verge podcast, which once a week covers all things Orioles minor leagues over at Baltimore Sports and Life. A great podcast. You have to check it out. One of my go-to, not just Orioles pods, but pods altogether. Bob's going to join us to preview the Aberdeen Ironbirds 2021 season. Now, this Aberdeen team has had a pretty good start to the year. They had a 10-1 win to open the season. They've got a good amount of talent on this team. Of course, the big name on the team is Grayson Rodriguez. The Orioles' top pitching prospect is their number one guy. Had a really good start on opening day on Tuesday. And the big change this year for Aberdeen, they are no longer a short season affiliate. They have been bumped up to full season. They are now the High A Aberdeen Ironbirds, kind of replacing the Frederick Keys, who were dropped from the Orioles affiliates this offseason. So like we've done in our last couple of previews, we will get you pretty much all the guys on the roster, talk about the names that stand out, and then maybe some underrated guys that you might know about by the end of this minor league season. So that is all coming up right now. We're going to get right to it with Bob Phelan, one of the co-hosts of the BSL On the Verge podcast. He joins this pod once again to preview the 2021 season for the High A Aberdeen Ironbirds. Bob, first of all, thank you so much for jumping back on Locked On Orioles.
Thanks for having me. Always enjoy coming on with you.
And so we have you on for part three of our four-part Orioles minor league preview week here on the pod. We have taken a look at the AAA Norfolk Tides with one of your co-hosts, Nick Stevens, back on Tuesday. We talked to Adam Pohl, the voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, on Wednesday's episode to talk about Bowie. And now we go to newly High A Aberdeen as they make the jump from the short season single A to the High A team, replacing the Frederick Keys. How long before you think you're kind of used to saying that Aberdeen is the High A team for the Orioles?
It hasn't happened yet, that's for sure. I definitely called Frederick the High A team a couple times on the podcast already, but we'll get there. It's only been one game, but I guess in a couple weeks maybe.
Yeah, and you know, Frederick still does have baseball. They're part of that MLB draft league, so there are still games being played there. It is unfortunate for many people kind of up in that area, even, you know, in the Western Maryland area, where, you know, Frederick could be, you know, the easiest place for them to go. And the fact that now Frederick and Hagerstown up there, although Hagerstown obviously was a Nats team, both are no longer minor league teams, does really stink for that area of Maryland. But, you know, we hope some of them can maybe drive a little further and get to Aberdeen, go a little further east. And that's where we are going to go today to talk about the Aberdeen Ironbirds. And of course, you know, as we chat here on Wednesday afternoon, the Ironbirds were probably the most exciting and most impressive night one Orioles minor league team with a 10-1 win to open the season. And it was really the offense that shined. So I'm going to start with the offense, Bob. That lineup, you know, has a lot of interesting names in it. And I want to start with the catcher position because Maverick Hanley already threw a runner out in his first inning behind the dish at Aberdeen last night. You know, he was kind of an underrated name because he was a catcher taken in the same draft that Adley Rutschman was. But it feels like, you know, people might need to start knowing other catchers besides Adley in the system because you need two. And Maverick Hanley might be that next guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he's got the glove. He's got an arm. It's a matter of if he can hit enough to be, you know, maybe not your average backup catcher. Maybe he could be someone that when another team is a starter, but when you have Adley Rutschman, of course, you're going to be the backup. And maybe that provides Rutschman more time at DH and first base because he's got a bit on this season, apparently. And Hanley can get a third of the at-bats down the line. But obviously, he's got to get there first. But it was a great start.
Yeah, he's a great defensive catcher. Shared that Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year title with Adley Rutschman, and the Orioles just said, you know what, why don't we get both of them and stick them both in the system? I believe Hanley was a sixth-round pick in 2019, and he'll be backed up at the catcher position by Chris Burgess, who a lot of people have been pretty excited about. Actually, Eric Garfield over at Utah Street Report just did a Q&A with him, has been big on Chris Burgess, so he'll be somebody to watch. And then Cody Roberts will be another catcher. They are carrying three to start the season. But did want to go to the infield because there are some definitely exciting names in this infield. And the guy I want to start with was kind of the like cool story darling from 2019 in the minors for the Orioles, and that is Toby Welk, who was drafted out of Division III baseball. Now, he was the best player in Division III. It's not like this was just some random guy. He won, you know, the National Player of the Year award in Division III baseball. And as someone who works in Division III baseball for myself, you know, I knew the name Toby Welk before the draft. But, you know, he is in Aberdeen now again. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, can he continue to climb levels like he did 2 years ago?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I feel like the losing 2020 really hurt a guy like Welk who wasn't able to get to the alternate camps. You didn't see his name popping up, but he had a great year. He's a great story, and hopefully it'll be interesting to see what strides he made with the coaching staff off-site that he's able to bring into the same stadium that he played most of 2019 in, but it's a much higher level.
Yeah, he was big with Tom Eller, one of the hitting coaches in the system, when Eller was in Aberdeen. Eller then moved up to Delmarva. Now he has moved up again to Aberdeen. So those two have come together. And that was a really good working relationship 2 years ago. So good to have those two back together in Aberdeen. And Coach Eller, you know, he's the hitting coach for the Ironbirds. Got to be happy with the 10 runs they had in game one. But continuing that infield, I feel like we have heard, and, you know, Keith Law wrote about it today in The Athletic. Joey Ortiz is getting a lot of praise here. He has bulked up. He has gone from a defense first, a guy who I saw pretty regularly in summer ball 4 years ago when he was a glove-first shortstop who, you know, could play with some speed and could stretch some singles into some doubles but didn't really have the, you know, gap power that he has now. He's really bulked up. He's just a lot physically bigger, and the bat seems to be working a lot better, which I think, you know, Ortiz was, you know, with the Westbergs, the Servideos, the Hendersons coming in, he was maybe going down the list a little bit. He's bumping himself right back up in those middle infield rankings.
Absolutely. And luckily, with the improved bat, he still has that great glove. So he's shortstop playable right now at the major league level, apparently, from what I've seen. But when I saw him in 2019 in Aberdeen, yeah, I did not see it with him at the plate with the bat. But apparently, he is balked up, like you said, and he had a nice double and a triple in opening day. He's hitting the ball hard, and that's huge. You know, the more shortstops, the better. That's what I say.
And, you know, speaking of another shortstop, you know, this was a guy I was actually a little surprised didn't start in Bowie. But Adam Hall is in Aberdeen. And, you know, this is the guy I feel like has, we continue to have to harp on, like, he's still there. He's still good. He was drafted out of high school. That's why he's maybe a little bit behind these college guys. Do you feel like, you know, Adam Hall is kind of, you know, slipping, you know, down the list behind some of these guys? Does he have a lot to prove since he, you know, didn't get to start the year in Bowie?
Yeah, I think he does. You know, I wrote a column for Baltimore Sports and Life in December this past year where I did predict he would start at AA. But looking at AA's roster, I mean, Adam Pohl did a great job going over it yesterday. I really enjoyed that episode. But if you look at the position players, there's not anyone other than Adley Rutschman and maybe Taron Vavra who really knock your socks off there. So I think almost like this whole Aberdeen team is positioned to just have like a mass promotion around midseason. I feel like this is not a, and same with Delmarva. Could see them taking their place. I'm sure it won't happen that way, but I think it's kind of designed to just get them off to a good start, have a good first half, and then get promoted. Whereas he could have started at AA for the whole season and maybe struggled a little bit. But yeah, he's definitely got something to prove. He's definitely the elder statesman of this group. Most of these guys are all 2019 draft picks, except for Adam Hall, basically.
Yeah, and you know, Mike Elias always harps on, you know, he wants guys to master their level, or at the very least, he wants guys to get a taste of every level, you know, unless they're an Adley Rutschman type who did get to, you know, skip over high A, but is still going to get a lot of at-bats at double A. And as you mentioned, like we talked with Adam on yesterday's episode, you know, there's a lot of infielders who are not really top prospects in Bowie right now. And so, you know, Mike Elias just kind of saying, all right, one of you, two of you, show us that you're here to stay. And if you don't, like, you might be replaced in a month or two, you know, with Hall or Ortiz or Welk or one of these guys. AJ Graffanino is also here. He came over in the Tommy Malone trade from the Braves. He dealt with a lot of concussion issues when he was in Atlanta. Finally seems like he's healthy and ready to go. And then Andrew Dashback is in there along with Andrew Martinez in that infield. But I do want to go to the outfield because they are some fun names there, as well as Kyle Stowers, I believe, already homered in game number one of the season. And already said, you guys are right. I do have a lot of pop in my bat. I'm getting more pop in my bat. And he seems to be a pretty exciting outfielder.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's just off of my personal top 30. But like a lot of these guys on Aberdeen this year, he could easily find his way back in there with an impressive season. And he got off to a heck of a start. He's got the power. It's just a matter of if his contact skills are going to be there consistently all season. But yeah, I really like that this outfield, these guys just seem to be a trio. They come together in the 2019 draft. They play together at every stop in 2019 and now 2021. And yeah, I think Johnny Reiser, speaking of great names, literally a great name, and he hit a home run as well.
Yeah, and he was the guy who just kept hitting at every level. They kept promoting him in 2019, and he just kept hitting. Now he's up at high A, and he continues to hit. Reiser out of TCU. Then you've got Zach Watson and Shane Fontana. And, you know, I know the infield is interesting and, you know, it has guys like Hall who might deserve to be in Bowie soon. I feel like among the hitters, the outfield group, and want to know if you agree, the outfield group on this team is the one I'm most excited to watch at the plate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, with the infield, I could see all three of these guys being in Bowie by the All-Star break. If I don't even think they have one, but midseason at some point. And yeah, there's plenty of upside with these guys.
So we'll get back to our Aberdeen Ironbirds preview in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Of course, baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action over at BetOnline. But it's not just baseball. You can get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, but also NBA and NHL as the seasons run down, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So let's move over to the pitching. And obviously, when you talk about the Aberdeen pitching, we start with the opening night starter, Another guy who I think we maybe expected could have been in Bowie, but the Orioles' number one ranked pitching prospect to many, Grayson Rodriguez, was in Aberdeen to start the year. Of course, he spent all of 2019 dominating Delmarva. We thought maybe that meant he could make the jump to Double A, but it could be another situation where, you know, they want him to master High A, and he started the season by mastering High A, had a really good start to begin the year on Tuesday. Bob, how long do you see Gray Rod in Aberdeen before he makes that jump to Bowie?
I want to say 2 months, but at the same time, Elias is more conservative than I would personally be. So maybe three, but 2 or 3 months, I believe. And I don't know if you can trust the source, but DL Hall said Grayson Rodriguez hit 101 on the radar gun. And if he's doing that at High A, yeah, it won't be long before he's up in Double A. Great to see him have an excellent first start.
Yeah, obviously DL Hall was not there, but I'm going to say if Grayson Rodriguez probably texted DL Hall and told him he threw 101, I'm going to believe him. Keith Law said in his article he was in the building. It seemed like Grayson was 96 to 99 all day. And so that is really promising velocity-wise, and the changeup was looking good as well in his first start. So it's kind of like on this team, you've got Grayson Rodriguez obviously standing above everyone else, and that's what he's going to do around most groups of pitchers. And then you got a bunch of interesting names that we're going to learn a whole lot about this year. One guy I kind of wanted to start with, it's going to be good, I think, to see Garrett Stallings, because not only has he not pitched in an Oriole uniform, he has never thrown in a minor league game. He was a 2019 draft pick for the Angels. They shut him down because of that's something the Angels like to do with their college pitchers. He had thrown a lot of innings at Tennessee, and then he came over in the Jose Iglesias deal, which, if people aren't aware, Iglesias is struggling in Anaheim right now. Freddie Galvis has better numbers across the board. So that trade looking a little bit better. I know I think you tweeted something about that earlier today, Bob, but that trade's looking a little bit better. But a lot of it is going to rely on Stallings. And so, you know, we'll get to see him. And, you know, I think he had a little velocity uptick this offseason. But I think, you know, he's one of the most interesting guys because it's not just the hasn't pitched for the Orioles. It's here's your, you know, 2 years after getting drafted, your professional debut finally.
Yeah, that has to be tough. So I wouldn't be alarmed if he has maybe a little bit of a poor outing with some jitters in his first game here. But yeah, I'm very interested in see what he does. Like you said, you got Freddie Galvis outperforming Iglesias on its own, and then you add Stallings into the mix. That's a pretty good trade there. A lot of people didn't like it at the time, but it seems like Elias maybe had a little bit of a scouting report on Stallings with his increased velocity. Obviously, he's known for his great control pitching for Tennessee in college. Yes, I think this could be the sleeper of the pitching group here.
Yeah, and speaking of Angels trades, Kyle Brnovich is in this group as well, one of the four pitchers that came over from the Angels in the Dylan Bundy trade. It'll be interesting to see him work. They do have a couple of the guys besides Grayson Rodriguez from that dominant Delmarva rotation in 2019. Ryan Wilson, Drew Rahm is in Aberdeen. And, you know, these are two guys, and Rahm a little bit more, who, you know, aren't quite top prospects, but I think the Orioles still have a lot of faith in those guys. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting following all, you know, it was really six or seven guys who combined in that Delmarva rotation. I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how many of them continue to pitch well as they climb. And, you know, you know, not all seven of those guys are going to continue to pitch that well. So it's going to be interesting to see which of the group besides Rodriguez kind of starts to separate themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Drew Rahm is another one, kind of like Toby Welk. I feel like it goes underrated just because of the loss year. He had an excellent season in 2019 with Delmarva. And I feel like people knock him because he doesn't throw mid-90s, but he's also extremely young, tall, projectable arm. I feel like he could add at least a few ticks on that fastball and be right back in the mix there. But another guy, Easton Lucas, I don't remember if you mentioned him, but if you can remember him, he was got back in a Jonathan Villar trade at the end of the 2018 season or 2019 season. And Villar's bounced around to three different teams since he's gotten able to pitch. So interesting as well. See what he's got.
Yeah, I know you guys talk about it a lot over on The Verge that it's like, you know, people were so mad about the Villar trade at the time. And I feel like I was one of them because I felt like he was a watchable, exciting, productive player for a really, really bad team. And it sucked to see him go. He has bounced around and not been good for anybody he's played for since then. And, you know, now we'll get to see the other side of it in Easton Lucas, who's a left-hander who will be on this team this year. And then one more guy I wanted to ask you about specifically before we kind of take a little more of a general look at this team. Where is your panic meter after the awful 2019 season for Blaine Knight? Because he is on this Aberdeen team as well.
My panic meter, I'm more disappointed than panicked. I think there's still room there for him to transition to the bullpen and maybe have some success. Maybe like I'm trying to think of a decent example, Cody Sedlak, but maybe not quite that good. But I think there's something there. But if they want to give him one more shot to start, maybe he's bulked up. It's been 2 years and we haven't heard anything about him. I know he's got a slender frame and he tends to wear down as the games go on. So give him a shot. But worst case, I think he can be still serviceable out of the bullpen at some point.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, just tall, skinny, and just big velocity. And, you know, sometimes for those kind of guys as well, the mechanics become so important, because one little thing when you're throwing 97 and you're that tall and that thin, one little thing can just break it down for you. And so the hope is that if it was one or two little things, they, you know, took these 2 years to get it corrected, and he will be back. But wanted to do a little more rapid fire here at the end, Bob, to just kind of take a look at this roster as a whole. So this could be a hitter or a pitcher. It could be somebody we have named already, or, you know, someone we passed over. But one name you think, you know, that isn't a top 30 prospect and isn't really a name that many Orioles fans know right now, that, you know, by the end of the season, you know, could be a guy who's up in Bowie and that Orioles fans will definitely know the name of.
You mentioned his name, but we didn't really go into him. How about Ryan Wilson? He pitched last night. I think he had 3 innings and 6 strikeouts. Didn't really give up anything, maybe an unearned run. This is a guy who really came on at the end of the 2019 season with Delmarva and was just striking guys out at a pretty solid rate for a lefty. He might not be a starter long-term, but I feel like this could be a guy that develops into a nasty left-hander out of the bullpen, can go multiple innings. That's a guy I'm keeping my eye on that people might not, you know, remember the name. First thing that comes in their head when they see the name on the box score.
Yeah, it's definitely another guy who was a part of that Delmarva pitching staff and did pitch really, really well. Somebody, I'm going to go a little deeper. I don't know if this guy will be in Bowie by the end of the year, but I think he could have a really good year in Aberdeen to put his kind of name on the map. And that is Jonathan Pendergast. He was a 28th rounder back in 2019 out of Pepperdine. And he went to the Gulf Coast League and he pitched pretty well, you know, full-time reliever for the Orioles after he was a starter in college. So we'll see if he gets a chance to start it all at Aberdeen or if he'll stick in the bullpen. But, you know, 22 strikeouts in 21 innings in the Orioles system between Aberdeen and the Gulf Coast League, just 2 earned runs allowed in that time. And he did have 5 saves. So he was actually being used basically in a closer role. So it'll be interesting to see if that's his role again for Aberdeen, if he becomes kind of a little more of a household name, if you see him coming in to lock down games at Ripken Stadium.
So we'll get back to the Ironbirds and Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar. Now, we want to know, what is your favorite Built Bar flavor? Of course, there's 9 delicious flavors right now, plus the occasional limited time flavor. For me, it's got to be peanut butter brownie. Can't think of 2 things better to combine, peanut butter and brownie. Those are delicious. But they've also got flavors like coconut, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, just to name a few. So there's something in it for everyone. So if you don't have a favorite yet and you haven't tried Built Bar yet, you got to go try the flavors. You can even get a mixed box at BuiltBar.com where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And, you know, I keep talking about taste and that's the big part here. But the other thing is it's a protein bar and it's good for you as well. Most of these flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar. So make sure to order today. And if you don't know what to get mom for Mother's Day, well, most moms love Built Bar. You can send her a box and you're sure to be her favorite, at least for a while, until you get her next box of Built Bars. So go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Next up, wanted to go with a guy who is in Aberdeen, who you are maybe surprised that he is in Aberdeen, whether it's because you thought he'd be in Bowie or maybe because you thought he'd be in Delmarva to start the season.
Yeah, I hate to go with the easy choice, but it's Adam Hall for me. I just really thought, you know, he had a great 2019 with Delmarva, missed 2020, and it just seemed like the perfect opportunity for him to start at AA and maybe try to create some space between him and the new shortstops, the 2020, you know, draft class, Gunnar Henderson from 2019, and try to get a head start on them. But he's a little bit closer than I expected, but he could easily, you know, have a hot month or 2 and be right up in double A and 1 step away.
Yeah, for me,
you know, it's tough because I think Hall is definitely the number one choice here, because I think it was a guy, as soon as I looked at the rosters, I looked for Adam Hall, and was surprised to see him down in Aberdeen. I am, you know, actually, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, another one we thought could be in Bowie. I'm actually going to say Garrett Stallings, and not because I don't think he deserves to be in Aberdeen, but just because of how many guys had success in Delmarva 2 years ago and how much of those guys kind of deserved a promotion to Aberdeen. I kind of thought that because he hadn't pitched in the minors, I thought maybe they'd stick him in Delmarva for a month, let him get his feet wet in minor league baseball, and then make the jump. But I'm still happy to see that he got that move to Aberdeen. Now, this one's a little bit of a tougher question because you look outside of this roster. But was there anybody who you thought would be in Aberdeen, and whether because of injury or, you know, they're maybe down in Delmarva or whatever it be, that you know, you're surprised was not on the high A roster?
Well, I don't know what's going on with Greg Cullen, the other guy that we got in the Tommy Malone trade. I'm assuming it's a nagging injury maybe, and he's still in extended spring training until he gets cleared up. But also, just two guys on the pitching staff in Delmarva would be Leonardo Rodriguez and Adam Stauffer, two guys who I thought really made a name for themselves in 2019. And I don't know, it seems like they're stalling out a little bit there. I don't know if they just want to refine some things, and I'm sure they have the reasons, but I thought they'd be in Aberdeen.
Yeah, I think the Greg Cullen one is interesting because it was, you know, it seemed like the Orioles got a really interesting trade from Tommy Malone. They got two middle infielders, Cullen kind of more of the power guy, and Graffinino, you know, he's a singles hitter basically, who gets on base, and they both play really good defense. Bob, you know, it's going to be fun to watch Grayson Rodriguez, obviously, and then, you know, it's kind of like Grayson Rodriguez and the rest of these really exciting guys that are on this team. But, you know, hopefully they get some home games, they get some away games where we can watch, because it wasn't great that we didn't get to watch Grayson on the MILB TV on Tuesday night. But just great to have minor league baseball back, and great to have the Ironbirds, you know, as a full season team, because I know for both of us, actually, that is the closest team to get to. So it's got to be good to have way more home games this year in Aberdeen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I felt bad for Frederick, but their loss is my gain. I'm right down the road, so I'll be going to plenty of games this season, and I'm excited.
So our thanks again to Bob Phelan, one of the co-hosts of the BSL On the Verge podcast, for joining us once again here on the pod to preview the Aberdeen Ironbirds 2021 season. Of course, the top name on the list of the Ironbirds, as we talked about, is Grayson Rodriguez. You're going to want to watch him every fifth day until he eventually does get that call up to AA Bowie at some point, you would think, maybe in June or July here this summer. But there are definitely a lot of interesting names, and that lineup has been on fire so far, and it's led by a guy like Toby Welk, who we talked about, and you know, this interesting and exciting group of outfielders with Zach Watson and Kyle Stowers, and just a fun team. And for me and for Bob, you know, it is the closest minor league team to get to. So it is fun that they are, you know, a high A affiliate now, and instead of just being a short season, they will have a full season at Ripken Stadium this season. But again, we will finish up with our minor league previews on Monday. Of course, everything got pushed back a day because the John Means no-hitter. No problem with that. Very happy that happened. So on Monday, we will finish it up with Sam Jelinek. He is the new play-by-play voice of the Low-A Delmarva Shorebirds, and we are going to preview the Shorebirds season with Sam on Monday. Of course, we had the chat earlier this week, but when we actually post it Monday, the Shorebirds would have already had, you know, about 5 days of baseball in, so have a little bit of a look into the Shorebirds before we get that episode to you. But it was a good chat with Sam about what that low A team could look like, and you know, the interesting guys that are on that team kind of surrounding that great, great infield that has Gunnar Henderson in it, along with Jordan Westberg, Anthony Servideo, Daryl Hernandez, just a loaded infield in Delmarva. But we talk about those guys and the other players around them as well. So that comes up on Monday. Coming up for the Orioles after yesterday's off day, of course, they start a 4-game home series with the Boston Red Sox today. And the question is, Boston at 19-13, they're in first place. Orioles at 15-16. Can the O's win some home games? They got four of them coming up. They've only won three of them on the season. Matt Harvey back to the mound tonight. He takes on the lefty Eduardo Rodriguez, who we've seen many times. Look forward to Saturday. Garrett Richards will pitch for the Red Sox, the righty with a 4.40 ERA. He is coming off his best start of the year, 10 Ks in 7 innings. Orioles have not named a starter yet by the time of this recording here late on Thursday. For their game Saturday, they pushed everybody back. Remember, they sent Bruce Zimmerman down to Norfolk for 10 days. days to kind of skip a start. They used the off days to their advantage like they did with Dean Kramer a couple of weeks ago. And they didn't bring a starter up in Zimmerman's place. So the thought is that Saturday will either be a straight bullpen game for the Orioles. It could be a game where Adam Pletko maybe makes his first start, goes three or four innings, and then it's a bullpen day. Or the Orioles could call up someone from Norfolk to make the start. And the best candidate right now seems to be Keegan Aiken. Remember, the O's were planning on calling up Aiken a couple of weeks ago for his first start in the majors in 2021. Then he cut his finger making breakfast and was out for a little bit. He is back and good to go through a side session a couple of days ago. He is scheduled to start in Norfolk tonight to make his AAA debut, but look out for that potentially being scratched. And if it is, he is most likely the starter in Baltimore on Saturday. Then on Sunday, the Red Sox send Nick Pivetta. The Orioles send Dean Kramer, trying to build off his best start of the year. Then there's a Monday game as well to finish off this series. Martin Perez for the Red Sox, Jorge Lopez for the Orioles. So we're back on Monday. Delmarva Shorebird's preview with Sam Jelinek, and we'll talk just a little bit about this Red Sox series so far when we are back. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.